Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When we want analysis of the NFL, when we want Indians passion, we get it all in one guy. And he's Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. And he joins us right now. Andrew, it's opening day, just in case you didn't know.
No, I do know, and I'm excited, and I can't believe that opening day is on a Thursday, which is in March, which doesn't seem right. I sound like a grumpy old man yelling, get off my lawn.
Oh, my God, you should have heard the beginning of the show. I was the same way. Same way.
But I am very happy it is baseball season. I am legitimately excited, and I mean that it is baseball season.
Should Major League Baseball change things? I mean, should the season start in April? Should they play some doubleheaders so that they're not playing, you know, in snow in March and in snow in November?
I mean, don't they change things every year? I mean,
yep.
One year we're opening in Japan, another year we're opening in Puerto Rico, another year we're, I mean, one year it's in March, one year it's in May. I'm obviously exaggerating, but they can't figure it out.
They tried to get everyone to start this year. Everyone to start today, right?
I like that fact.
I do too.
Everyone's on the same day, save for rainouts. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to have a game in Detroit today, however. Granted, there should always be one in Cincinnati. I am all for tradition. It's baseball season. I'm happy it's here. I wish it were on a Monday in April and not a Thursday in March. I mean, I remember as a kid that opening day and NCAA final was always the same day, right? And that was the greatest day in sports.
It's a good point. Detroit and Pittsburgh already rained out for today, by the way. Other than you, you may be the only person on earth that is excited about the fact that the Indians are playing at 7:05 Pacific tonight, right? Because we're looking at a 10 o'clock start here. I just think it stinks for us.
I get it. But, you know, what's the weather in Cleveland today?
Probably the same as it is in Seattle. Except for the fact they can put a tin can over their baseball field.
Right, but I agree with you. Make it earlier in the day.
Yeah.
You make it a matinee so everybody can see it. I was actually thinking of going up there this weekend.
Cool.
It's a short flight, but it's going to be like 42 at night that it's supposed to be, you know, garbage weather. So I'm going to pass. Because their Indians are here next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Anaheim.
Yeah, so why would you want to do that? That's crazy.
I say here, Anaheim. They're called the Los Angeles Angels. They're really nowhere near Los Angeles.
And so you'll be there, won't you? At least once?
I'll try. I'll get there at least one next week, yeah.
Is there any chance they may import some of that sewage from Chavez Ravine and send it over to Anaheim?
That was a mess, huh?
Nasty, huh?
I mean, wow. I mean, Chavez Ravine overnight turned into the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum.
It's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
How about some?
They have massive sewage issues at that stadium. That's why they need to detonate it.
Wait, which one, Oakland or LA?
Oakland. No.
Oh.
Dodger Stadium's awesome. I mean, they renovate it every year.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm joking, but it almost feels like they renovate it every year.
Yeah, that should be Bulldozer Park. And by the way, once the Warriors leave, they can take them both down and they can expand the flea market that's on the other side of the street. That's one of the worst venues in sport.
It's awful, but I am all for the Raiders staying in Oakland and getting a new stadium. Alas, my wishes were not honored.
I'm fine. I mean, I would have been fine with that too, but I just think those two facilities are just ridiculous. They're both holes.
I mean, here we are with ripping stadiums in California. I'm sure this is great for everyone there, but Oakland and San Diego, since vacated, those two stadiums were by far the worst. So with San Diego now out of the equation, Oakland stands alone, and then that's not exactly a controversial opinion.
Andrew Siciliano joining us from the NFL Network. How about a little football?
Football.
You guys have been doing a phenomenal job. Love watching all the stuff you're doing leading up to the draft and covering free agency and everything else. And
you're too kind.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Am I sensing what I think is correct? It's become a two-guy race at number one for the Browns.
Between
Josh Allen and Sam Darnold.
I think they have to go quarterback. That's just me. Charles Davis, who loves stirring it up a little bit.
He's still going Barkley, isn't he?
Yeah, he went Barkley one and said Darnold fell to four. You know, I spoke to Clay Helton, the SC coach, a couple of days ago. And remember, Clay's dad, Kim, was a head coach. You know, he grew up in a football family, right? Clay has been around college football his entire life. And I said, have you ever seen an owner at a pro day? And he kind of quiet, like not like, oh, my God, no. He just said, no. But, wow, wasn't it great to see him there? And I think that says everything. And I spoke briefly to Jimmy Haslam that day. This is before I think really anyone noticed him up there. And he was up there. I will say this. He was up there legitimately doing work. I'm going to tell tales out of school. But he had folders and a legal pad. He was actually turning in a day of work up there before the Darnolds came up to sit with him. And he said he was in town for business and obviously decided to meet with everyone, which is totally understandable. Obviously, there you could have two reasons for any business trip. You don't always have to make just one reason to come to Los Angeles. But the fact that he was there, I think, says everything. Now, granted, we just assumed that he was there, and therefore he loved him, and he's going to be number one.
Right.
And I think that's always – I think sometimes when we connect the dots in free agency, we often say, well, this guy used to coach that guy, therefore – that's the obvious fit. Do you know that coach liked that player? Do you know that player liked playing for that coach? You don't always know that. You just think because they know each other, therefore they're going to want to work again together. And so I think we have to be careful. Just because Haslam met with Darnold doesn't mean he loved him, but everyone says it did go well. And honestly, if you meet Sam Darnold, you're going to like him. So there.
Andrew, I'm going to go back and put together a couple topics that we've been doing in the last thing we just talked, because you just got my mind thinking about the Raiders going to Vegas. If you look at what the Knights have been able to do as far as home ice advantage in Las Vegas, and we were just talking about the Cavs being in Miami and how Miami's a tough place for road teams to play because the players want to go out and hang out when they're down in Miami. What kind of an advantage do you think the Raiders are going to have? And I know that NFL teams are kind of on lockdown when they get to stadiums, but, man, I got to think they're going to have some kind of advantage when NFL teams have to come into Vegas and play.
I think it's actually going to be more of a detriment to the home team than it is for the visiting.
Oh, good.
I'll be honest with you. The visiting teams, like you said, you guys have been on the road with them plenty. It's not like the NBA. It's not like the NBA where you have four games, six nights, or you have one of those crazy two-week trips every now and then where guys just want to go blow off steam. And NFL teams are on lockdown, especially West Coast teams coming there. They're going to get in Saturday, right? Saturday mid-afternoon.
Yeah. Team meetings.
You have team meetings. They're on lockdown.
Five-minute ride from the airport.
It's not going to be an issue, I really don't think. I think it's more of an issue for the team that is there, the Raiders, week in and week out. You know, if you have Tuesday off, Monday night is just like every other night in Vegas. There is always something going on. There is no downtime. And I'll be honest, I have a mea culpa. I was on record saying I thought that hockey team would fail and fail miserably. You know, I spent a lot of time in Vegas over the years. I used to have a freelance gig there. I was out there almost every week for 4 years. Now, that was a long time ago, but the town has changed a lot since then. It is a 24-hour town where it is not a 9-to-5 work town where people go, hey, I'm done. What am I going to do now? You know, the casinos are always open. The restaurants are always open. And I didn't think it was a town that would support a pro sports team that plays 41 home games. I just did not, especially hockey. Well, let's face it. I mean, it's Las Vegas. It's not Edmonton.
Right.
Not Boston. It's Las Vegas, and hockey fans will scream and yell, oh, you don't understand hockey. It's not about that. Hockey is a sport that, sure, can work in Nashville or Columbus or other towns, but you really got to win. You really got to be a novelty where people get drawn in and they like what they see when they get there. And this team won right out of the gate immediately. So I have been proven wrong. If this team was middling out of the gate and they acted like most expansion teams act in every other sport, I think it would have been awful, and I think that team would have been destined to fail, but I've been wrong.
Andrew Siciliano joining us, NFL Network. So Cody Kessler is now a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm.
Trust me on this one, Andrew.
Trust him.
Yeah.
Trust me on this one.
What about, oh, you're talking to Hugh there.
Yeah, you like the way I did that?
Listen, he's eating those words, clearly. I will also say that I kind of give every coach or GM a pass, and this goes for college coaches as well, for their comment immediately after a draft or a national letter of intent signing day.
That's a good idea.
I really, because remember, every college coach will tell you that they had the greatest recruiting class of all time.
They have ever. To, yeah.
They all come out with it. Let me show you the miles we traveled, right?
Right, right. And I think NFL coaches have to do the same thing. Now, you could turn that around on me and say, no, why don't you pump the brakes and say we're excited about the guys we picked, and let's just see how it goes. Okay, you can do that way, too. You can do that. But they're not last words because Hugh is still there, but they were ones that obviously did not turn out to be, at least so far, dead on or spot on. As for words, I know no USC fans are listening to me. I took some grief yesterday here in LA from Trojan Nation, if you will, because I had a little snarky tweet in which I said, now that Cody Kessler is gone, are the Browns going to sign Max Brown to bridge to Sam Darnold the first three games of the coming season?
Wow.
For those who don't know, Max Brown was the guy that waited his turn behind Cody Kessler, a Southern California kid from a good family, and he was going to be the next guy. But he came in at the same time with Sam Darnold, and Max Brown beat him out. It was going to be Max's job, right? Well, mm-hmm. Beat him out. Who knows if he did? A lot of people thought Sam was a better quarterback in camp, but it was Max Brown's job, and he only lasted three games, and then he eventually transferred to Pitt. But in Max's defense, he opened against Alabama, then I think they had Texas. It really wasn't fair, and their offensive line was a mess anyway. So SC fans think I'm taking shots at Max Brown now. I'm not, but he is going to be, in all likelihood, an undrafted free agent out of Pitt. And if the Browns did bring him in after drafting Sam Darnold, that would be hysterical.
Andrew, thoughts on Drew Stanton real quick. I think it's a great play for the Browns because now you've got two veteran quarterbacks that would stand in the way of whoever the guy is that they draft. And if they want to be able to, you know, dig their heels into the sand and say, we want this guy to grow without playing in a game, you've got two guys with experience now compared to zero wins last year.
My initial reaction was when you see the, four-plus guaranteed million, is that it says that Tyrod truly is a one-year rental.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, then you have your backup quarterback in place for the following season.
I know some people say, that means they're not going to draft Darnold, number one. I don't think it has anything to do with that at all. But I do think that, you can get rid of Drew Stanton after 1 year if you truly wanted to. I heard one evil genius off the air, a colleague, say maybe it means they'll get rid of Tyrod before the season. And I said, come on, you don't give up the 65th. To get rid of Tyrod before the season. I don't buy that at all. And now I'm going to, of course, light up the phones because I said that. I do not believe that, and that person was just making stuff up. I can't believe, by the way, that we have not talked about Odell Beckham.
Well, that's what I was going to leave you with.
Okay.
If you're the Browns, would you be interested? I would certainly think so. But I don't think the Browns' picks are something that, you know, if they want two number ones, I'm not giving up a one and a four. I'm not giving up either one. Right.
Well, they're not gonna get two number ones. It's nice to float that they want two number ones. But that's not gonna happen.
How about two number twos if you're the Browns? I would do that.
Well, see, I don't think they want at least a one. Okay. I think he goes for a one and a four, one and a three, something like that. And I think if it happens, it happens closer to draft day, or even maybe on the clock. The last two wide receivers traded for two number ones. Actually, both happened in the year 2000. It was Joey Galloway and then Keyshawn Johnson. Oddly enough, they were both then later traded for each other. I heard someone say, would you give up 4 and 33 or something like that? I don't know that I would. Here's my question on Odell. First of all, you got to do your own homework on him. And I know you have Adam Henry in the building, but any team that's going to trade for him is not going to do it yesterday because they need to do their own research on the guy. Are we going to trade for this guy and then give him $60 million, $80 million guaranteed, whatever it is? We want to know who he is, the person, before we bring him in our building. Number two is if you're going to pay Jarvis Landry $16 million, are you ready to pay Odell $20 million? And if that's the case, will you commit $36 million annually of your $177 total to wide receiver, and specifically two wide receivers? That's not even filling out the rest of the room. So 36 for two guys with still three other wideout slots open, would you commit that amount of resources? I don't know that I would.
All right, last question, and we got to roll here quick. Opening day or the day after the Super Bowl, if you could make one of those a national holiday, which one would it be?
Oh, that's a great question. As an employee of the NFL, of course, I would say the day after the Super Bowl.
Well done.
Baseball, hold on, it should be opening day in baseball. However, if they can agree on like a Monday opening day for everybody, not like the opening day can't be a holiday if it's a Thursday. So like I tweeted this morning, opening day should be a national holiday and always be on a Monday, and I stand by that.
I could go for Friday, too. Friday wouldn't bother me.
Oh, I could do a Friday.
Yeah. He's Andrew Siciliano. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yes, sir. Goodbye now.
Andrew from the NFL Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.